Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Monday, 7th June 2021, and in our preview of the week, we're discussing the major themes for the FX financial markets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. So good morning, Derek. And what are the key themes first thing today?
Good morning, Una. I think, you know, it's US data flow, given we're now in the period of no comments from Fed officials ahead of the FOMC meeting next week. Obviously, the payroll report on Friday was disappointing. The, you know, the whisper number before the print was a gain of 800,000. So the 559,000 gain, well below that. And again, the downside miss has not, like the 10-year yield dropped 8 basis points. So there was a notable response in the US Treasury market, less of a response in the FX markets. And I think, in a way, the markets remain convinced that this is simply a demand-supply imbalance. And the demand side, the data is compelling in terms of the US labor market picking up. And therefore, elements like concerns over catching COVID, the jobless support, the extra $300 per week, which is fast reversing across US states and will fully end in September, childcare problems for individuals as well. All of those kind of issues curtailing supply will start to fade. So I think the markets remain convinced going forward that we will see a more notable rebound. But it's definitely needed. You know, the average payroll gain this year is now 478,000. You know, that's at the beginning of the year, that's not what the markets were expecting. You know, it would take 16 months further from here just to recoup the COVID losses at that pace. So certainly, you know, I think the markets are right. Come August, September, October time, we're going to get some pretty chunky figures, I think, and that will help improve the picture going forward. So that drop in 10-year, you know, I wouldn't expect follow through on that right now. But obviously, it's kind of reinforcing the communications from the Fed. We have time to wait. We need to see further substantial progress before we take any measures on tapering quantitative easing. I think that reinforces the prospects of tapering not happening until close to the end of the year. And that's pretty much what's priced into the markets. So the risk of it happening sooner than expected has come down further because of the payrolls report. Even though it's a supply issue, we need to see the physical 1 million prints that the markets anticipate at some point. We need to see that coming through before the Fed will be confident to signal a change. We may see them beginning their conversations on tapering next week, for sure. Again, I don't think the markets would be hugely surprised by that. But those conversations will probably take a couple of meetings, maybe three, and then a formal plan announced and then activated, as I said, Q4 into the end of the year. And I think that's pretty much what's priced into the markets. Data flow, again, this week is pretty important. Maybe another reason why we didn't get the follow through on the 10-year on Friday further lower. The 10-year, as we speak, is up a little bit today. And the dollar reaction was more muted because, of course, we've got the inflation print today, on Thursday. We all remember the 0.9 month-on-month core print last month, the biggest gain since 1982. So the markets are certainly very sensitive to another big print. Having said that, you know, another big print is really just confirming what the Fed is already telling us, which is inflation is going to be transitory. We're not concerned. These are bottleneck issues which will fade over time. And therefore, the consensus for Thursday is a 0.4% month-on-month increase. So that's down from 0.9. And another upside surprise, closer to last month's print. Yeah, you'll probably get a knee-jerk reaction. But ultimately, you know, I think a transitory inflationary period is priced into the markets. You know, if you look at the 10-year yield since the CPI print last month, the 10-year yield's down 11 basis points. So, you know, the chunky inflation print last month hasn't resulted in an upside move. And I think, as I said, the markets are braced for that and I'm fully expecting it. So in a way, the risk reward is potentially to the downside, because if you get an inline print of 0.4, even a 0.5, and the markets will go, phew, it wasn't 0.9, and we're in a transitory phase. And therefore, I think the bias perhaps is that we could see some bid coming into the US Treasury market if we get an inline CPI print on Thursday. Now, that has impacts for FX. You know, based on our correlation analysis, the US Treasury 10-year yield still matters quite a lot. In fact, the 30-day window of daily percentage changes, the correlation between the US Treasury and the FX G10 space, the correlations have all strengthened over the last month, dollar-yen still being the most significant. So based on what I've just said, perhaps downside risks to dollar-yen if we get a consensus print on inflation on Thursday. Sterling and CAD are the two currencies least correlated to US Treasury moves. And I think that's down to domestic-specific factors that have been more dominant for the performance of the pound and the Canadian dollar.
And what else should we be looking at for this week, Derek?
Well, on the same day as the inflation print, we'll actually have Christine Lagarde sitting down to her press conference after the ECB meeting. So that's going to be the big day of the week, and the big macro event, I guess, is that ECB meeting. It's more important than the usual meetings because we do have the upgrade to the forecasts. And, of course, now this formal reassessment of the pace of PEP purchases. We get the conclusion of that at this meeting as well. That's going to be the focus. I think on the forecast front, you know, GDP 4% for 2021 is the forecast at the moment, and 4.1% in 2022. A little bit on the low side, certainly for this year. So I think we're going to get an upgrade to the GDP projection. Not hugely, but certainly maybe, you know, few percentage, tenths of a percentage point, maybe up to 4.4, 4.5. Inflation also, 1.5% is the forecast for 2021. That's definitely going to go up, possibly 0.7, 1.8, something like that. And then in terms of the guidance on PEP purchases, you know, we've had strong pushback in terms of communications from ECB officials in terms of the idea of slowing the pace of PEP purchases. So I think it's pretty much a done deal. They're not going to slow the pace. I think the signal or the communication from the ECB is going to be that the pace will be maintained around the current pace. So that gives them a little bit of flexibility come the end of Q3. If the economy continues to rebound strongly, then, you know, they could moderately start to slow the pace and give a signal of a potential formal slowdown of the pace in Q4, which I think is most likely. Certainly the 1.85 trillion capacity of PEP is not going to be met. And let's not forget, that's a limit. It's not a target. And we don't think they will use the full capacity of PEP, given the improvement in the Eurozone economy that we expect going forward. But in terms of this week, that what I've just mentioned in terms of the happenings of the ECB meeting itself, maybe some soft downwards pressure on euro on the confirmation of the PEP purchases being maintained. Beyond that, I don't really see much in the way of volatility, other than, as I said, that kind of modest correction to the downside possibly. But I wouldn't see too much in terms of price action.
And finally, Derek, what trade ideas are your research desk highlighting this week?
Well, in our FX Weekly published on Friday, we put out a new trade recommendation, trade idea, which was long sterling versus the US dollar. Now, we were a little bit cautious on the timing of this. We're going, okay, COVID is picking up in the UK. The Delta variant is now the dominant variant. It's 40% more infectious. Over the short term, that could mean further infections to the upside. But, clearly the data shows there's been a break in terms of infections through to hospitalizations and deaths. And I think that's going to be confirmed over the coming weeks as well. We may get a delay to the full reversal of lockdown, which is scheduled for the 21st of June. We'll get a confirmation from the government next week on the 14th. But when we look at the high frequency data for the UK and the Apple mobility, which indicates three measures of mobility, we average those three. And then on a 7-day moving average, the UK mobility is through the roof. It's above the United States and it's above our measure for the Eurozone. And that to me tells you that the most recent reversal that took place in May has been enough to really trigger a much more meaningful upturn in mobility and therefore we think activity. And therefore I'm not convinced this final leg, if it's delayed by 2 weeks, is going to be that damaging to sentiment. So the pound is underperforming a little bit today, but again, we still think the timing of this trade is good because we've got a lot of data this week, culminating on Friday with the GDP for April. And we think, you know, there's upside potential to that. And it's going to reinforce the prospects of a very, very strong print quarter on quarter in Q2 versus Q1. The short-term rates market is drifting higher. Markets beginning to consider a sooner than expected rate hike by the Bank of England. A stronger flow of data over the coming weeks, I think, will reinforce the prospects and the markets will start to consider potentially a late 2022 rate hike. And I think that's going to help to support the pound. So yeah, I just think that the macro backdrop is quite positive. Then we've got these trade deals. We've had a Norway EEA trade deal. The Australian Prime Minister is in the UK for the G7 meeting at the end of this week. There's going to be an announcement on Australia-UK trade deal. From a macro perspective, not hugely significant, but from a sentiment perspective, signs of progress in terms of the UK opening up and finalising these trade deals post-Brexit, I think is just going to add to the positive sentiment. So, long pound versus the US dollar is our latest trade recommendation.
Well, thanks very much for that insight, Derek. Have a good week and we'll speak to you soon.
And you, Una. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.